This episode of TMS is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create a professional website, blog, portfolio, or online store. For a free trial and 20% off your new account, go to Squarespace.com and use the offer code MORNING9. Coming up on TMS, nothing good ever happens at 5 a.m.
nothing bug grilled cheese sounds bad, but it's not.
That was written badly, and it was written badly by me.
Did I swear to tell you
that? That was me. Red Lobster loses one of their own.
The diet closes its doors.
Ant-Man gets pushed up by Disney.
Woo! Sharon Osbourne had a thing with Jay Leno.
Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time.
Your emails and more on this episode of Der Morning Stream.
Are you glad we asked you to come over and try it?
Yeah, very much so. This doesn't taste like the usual cornflakes. A little crisper, if you want to call it that. I mean, it's...
Eat a lot of cereal at home? Your family?
Well, I have 5 children, yes.
You think your kids are like this?
Yeah, there was enough of it. I think my kids would go for it.
New post-puffed cornflakes. Puffed to be crisper than plain cornflakes. Post cereals make breakfast a little bit better.
It's really a better tampon. The Morning Stream.
Tread softly, because you tread on my dream. This is The Morning Stream.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Oh, what's this then? It's a show. It's a morning show. Frog Pants Morning Show. It's the Morning Stream, everybody. Welcome back. It's Wednesday, September 11th, 2013. Just trying to put as jolly a spin on 9/11 as possible, if that's even possible to do. With my inclinations.
I think, 12 years, I think, when we hit 20 and we hit 25 and stuff like that, then you can be somber. But the 12th anniversary,
Yeah. You think it's time for us to start, you know, I don't know.
You do your moment of silence at 6:46 or whatever, which they did this morning on our local news. Right. And then, you know, you honor and then you kind of move on with the rest of your day and don't dwell.
I think the don't dwell part is the key. Yeah. So I appreciate you in all of your typical zen-like, middle-of-the-road positions on things, which I like. I like it. It's not middle-of-the-road, but your moderate approach
thanks
to things of the day.
Middle-of-the-road, Brian. Woo!
Pick a side, damn it. Pick a side. No, I think it's a good thing. And
all of a sudden, I'm Bruce Hornsby.
Exactly. I like it. And so, yes, everybody, remember it and then move on, because that's how you best remember people, is to show that you're productive human beings. I mean, at some point, we lost about the same number of people on the attack at Pearl Harbor in, what was that, September, or December 7th?
Yep.
1941?
1941, December 7th, a date that will live in infamy.
Except I barely remember it. So here's the trick, right? Like, that happened, what, 60, 70, 80 years ago, whatever it is now. How long has it been? 72 years. I remember when it was only 50 years ago. That freaks me out. Anyway, point being that was as tragic, and perhaps some would argue more tragic, as the war that followed was colossally devastating to many people, including our own army. And we were, if anything, we were least hit, and we were still hit huge. 400,000 something people. Other places lost millions. So it was that was rough business. But I don't hear people getting all that talky about that date anymore. So at some point, I figure 9/11 goes down that same path, right? You've got multiple generations that have come since then who don't have the same personal connection to it or the same shock value from it. And they don't think about it in those terms anymore. It doesn't lessen the memory of the people who lost their lives or anything like that. It just changes.
Right.
It just changes.
Right.
Welcome to time. That's what time is. You like that, everybody?
It's just a time passing kind of thing. Pretty soon, sadly, we'll move off of 9/11 and onto the next horrific anniversary that we have yet to experience.
Yeah, because there's always one, right? There's always something worse. Or is bad, mm-hmm. or something, or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I guess for the States, probably our worst thing since then was that school shooting in, where do you call it?
Sandy Hook?
Sandy Hook thing. I'll bet that was. Yeah. That's as close as you get to how everybody felt, I think, about that. That was pretty rough. That one was hard. Hey, welcome to the show. We're done talking about sad stuff. Let's talk about great stuff, everyone. It's me. It's Brian. It's the morning stream. It's 8:08 a.m. the Mountain Time Zone, the only time zone that matters. And I'm here to tell you about a freaky 5 o'clock in the morning moment that I had today.
Okay.
So, here's what I hear. Now, normally, here's the deal. The dog sleeps in the house, out in the open. She used to be in a kennel, but she's well-trained now, and it's not a problem. So, sleeps wherever the dog wants to sleep, right?
Sure.
Sometimes.
Out in the open, running around like she owns the place.
Free-range dog at my house. So, sometimes one of us, somebody, Kim, or me, or the kids, somebody will hear her walking around. You can hear a little bell going, right? And that's usually a sign that she needs to go out. And it's a rare thing when it's not daylight hours, but when it does happen, one of us will get up and wander over there and do that. Now, normally when that happens that it isn't me, I hear the dog or the getting up part or the whatever, all the stuff leading up to the door being open and shut. No big deal. Mm-hmm. This morning, 5 a.m., I hear the door open, and I hear the big lock that we have there right now for the real estate agents to come get a key out of.
I hear
that bang a couple of times back against the door, and then I hear the door shut. It's 5 o'clock in the morning, and I'm not hearing any feet walking. I'm not hearing anything. I just hear that, and I get up, or I sit up straight in the bed. I'm bleary-eyed and just kind of hideous at 5 a.m. I look over the edge of the bed, and the dog is still sleeping where I left her last night. She's on my floor.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh. Now, I don't have children that get up early for anything. Like, if school could start at 1 p.m., they'd still find an excuse to sleep till 12:45.
Oversleep.
Right.
Sure.
They'd figure out a way to do it. That's the way it is.
Yeah.
So I'm starting to get a little weirded out. But then I'm also like, who breaks into/robs a house at 5 o'clock in the morning? And the answer is nobody. Nobody does that. That's weird. But then I thought, well, we do have that thing on the door. Maybe there's something weird happened with one of the walkthroughs yesterday. We had a ton of walkthroughs.
You've got the agent's going to be taking some people through the house at 5 a.m. Well, let's not do the bedroom. We'll let them sleep. Yeah, but well, let's take you through the whole rest of the house.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. So we go. I get up. I'm like weirded out. And I go check the front door, which I locked last night. I made sure. Click. It was locked. Mm-hmm. Personally, I saw to it. That it was locked.
Right.
I go to open it. It's not locked. So I open the door. I'm like, what is going on? I'm starting to freak out a little. Like somebody has gotten into the house. Maybe they're still here. Like I'm like flipping out. It's dark and it's pouring rain outside.
The calls are coming from inside the house.
So then I go outside and I check we have a milkman thing service that brings like almond milk and, you know, fruity crap like that to the house. Kim gets eggs that way, like free range eggs and this kind of stuff.
Gotcha.
It's cheap and, you know, whatever. I don't know what to think about it. It's a company called Winder Dairy, and they've been around forever, since I was a kid. So anyway,
that's cool. They have non-dairy options.
Oh, totally do.
Usually your milkman is like, you know, you get milk.
Yeah. It comes out of cheese. The teat. What do you want? Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Milk and cheese straight from the teat. So instead, so we knew that was Wednesdays, and so I got to thinking, well, what if it was that guy? Like, what if it was that dude? So I go outside, and I'm having like CSI moment. I'm about ready to get a black light and see what's on the bed, you know? So I'm out there, and I check in the cooler thing where they put the stuff, and sure enough, delivery has been made. And there's eggs, yogurt, a gallon of milk, and a gallon of almond milk in there, which I get because I like the almond milk a lot. So I get that. Yeah. That's a story for a different day, why I like that so much. but I can recommend it highly. Anyway, so I bring that stuff in and I'm like, well, wait, if he came, his job is to take it straight to the cooler. He's not supposed to touch the door.
Or go inside, open the door, close the door, none of that stuff. Yeah.
Even if he was just like, what's going on in here? Like what would possess a guy to do that? So then I thought, well, maybe he was like some 18-year-old trainee something. I'm formulating this big long thing in my head.
Sure.
And maybe he saw that weird lock from the real estate agent hanging there and thought, ooh, I wonder if it's like an abandoned house or if it's condemned or the bank closed it. That's weird, you know, because he's not used to seeing houses for sale or something. So then he like opened it to see like, ooh, I wonder if I open this and, you know, thinking maybe he'll get the smell of death will come out of here or something like that.
Right.
Like there's some fat guy in a chair who had a heart
but
attack.
But you can't open unless you have the key, unless you get the key out of that.
Correct.
Lockbox, right?
Yeah. Unless you have another key or it's unlocked. And I knew I locked it the night before. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So even if it was this crazy person, it didn't make sense about the unlocking. The unlocking part mm-hmm. still couldn't, there was no reconciliation for how he physically unlocked the door.
Maybe it was Jill, master of unlocking.
It might have been Barry. It might have been. Now I have to play that because you've made me. Master of unlocking. Jill. Here it is. Check it out, everyone. Oh, no, that's not it. Damn. Oh, well. How about Jill and Barry?
Jill. Sorry.
Barry.
Totally.
Jill.
That's not the one. Anyway.
Jill.
Jill.
Sorry.
You do the best, Barry. Really.
Thanks.
So, no problem. That's what I'm here for. So I'm racking my brain, and I'm kind of feeling a little bit, you know, that nervous sick, like you're just,
yes,
when something bad's happened, you're like, gosh, it's just, you're like, oh, I don't know what's happened here. Now I'm starting to worry about the kids. Carter is rolling out of bed at 6 and getting ready for school. I'm like, did you do it? No, I don't know. I didn't hear anything either, Dad. I don't know what's going on. And she's the closest to that door, but nothing moves her when she's asleep. She's just dead asleep. So she's fine. Nobody had gone up there or anything weird. So then Kim goes, I haven't checked on Nick. Because Nick gets up later. We didn't want to bug him. She goes running downstairs. He's gone. Bed's empty.
What? Okay.
So now everything's just escalating. Like, whoa.
Thickens, right.
I'm like, so in my head, I have a story where the milkman stole my 13-year-old son and is now on the lam, right? Just running for Kansas City right. or something. And we're just racking our brain. We cannot figure out what it is. So I literally walk outside in the rain. Like, Nick doesn't get up early for anything. Nothing, right. unless right. I beg him, pull him, shove him. He doesn't do it.
Tip so the bed over.
Yeah. Right. So I'm kind of worried at this point. So I'm out in the yard, and it's raining, and I'm standing there in the rain like some bad movie, right? Like, just kind of like, Nicholas! You know, like, I want to yell up the street, like, where is he?
I will find you.
Exactly. And I really do have, like, rain just rolling down my face and head and everything. No. And I'm standing there in my socks on, like, wet pavement. And it occurs to me, here's where the story ends up, just to create a little, stop the tension here. I look around and I notice every house on my street and the street across from me has a flag up for remembering 9/11.
Sure.
And it suddenly occurs to me, Nick's scout troop is in charge of putting up flags on national holidays and on days like 9/11. It was still inconceivable that he got his arse out of bed at 5 o'clock in the morning and did it. Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
The kid set an alarm and did this thing that he would normally hate to do. That shocked me. It must have been peer pressure from his friends or something. I don't know what. But that's what the whole thing was. It was him at the door. It was him leaving. It was him putting up flags, and he came home about a half hour later, and everything was fine. Weird. So there you go. There's my story. You like that?
Jill!
All right.
Wow.
Weird.
Yeah, that'll wake you up, too. There's no going back to bed and going back to sleep after that.
No.
Heart palpitation.
Yeah, I was up, so I hopped on the treadmill, thought I'll just run this off. Did a half-hour jog. Watched Jeffrey Dahmer movie while I did it. Don't ask. Don't tell. That was fun. And that's it. So, in other news, World of Warcraft 5.4 is great. And I know that we don't usually talk about video games on the show unless it's something that we're totally into, but they've got something really awesome on their hands. I hope that Timeless Isles systems, the way that thing works, I hope that's a thing they carry forward.
Cool. I can't wait to check it out.
Feels like an experiment that they want to test out on people like us. So we'll see how it goes. Well, not just like us, like players in general.
Right, but it sounds like it's good for casual and hardcore players.
I would agree. Yeah, I would totally agree. Yeah. And if you go in there, if you just want to solo around, you can totally do that. If you want to go in there with friends, it's great. There's all sorts of stuff to do there, but it's kind of this weird emergent kind of gameplay where it's not a hub full of quests anymore. That's not how that works. It's like you discover things. Very exploration-based and stuff. It's pretty neat. Pretty impressed.
Cool. It's good for a hardcore player and a casual player.
For a
and Hispanic player.
And a white player. Yeah. And Hispanic players. Before you get all offended, go back and listen to the show's first couple months.
That's right. Just do a quick search for the Red House. You can find it on YouTube.
Yeah. Now, this thing I made you do this wrong, by the way, this morning. I made you read it wrong. In the top of the show, it read nothing bug grilled bug. Cheese sounds
bad.
Yeah,
I was thinking grilled bug cheese. I was thinking like a grilled cheese sandwich with bugs in it, but yeah. I'm glad that that's not the case.
Should have been the word but. Nothing but grilled cheese sounds bad, but it's not.
Well, and now that I see that, I don't, you know, it totally makes sense, and I shouldn't have gotten derailed by it, you know?
No, well, you deserve none nothing of the blame. This is me.
Nothing but grilled cheese.
You had a bad editor. Let's put it that way. So I ate at this place yesterday because we had to be out of the house for 2 hours for a showing. And by the way, the people that came were all dressed in military fatigues.
Ooh. Oh, really?
Mysterious. Wow. I don't know what's going on there. Anyway. We live near a base, so it doesn't make it makes sense that they're probably be doing that. But anyway, so we go to this place called the Melty Way. All right? Like the Milky Way, but the Melty Way.
The Melty Way, yeah. Sure.
And in there, it's a giant menu full of gourmet grilled cheeses. So like a Reuben, some other kind of weird hybrid BLT club thing. But they're all specifically like pressed grilled cheese style things. With these amazing sauces. Anyway, it's one of a kind. There's no franchise or anything like that, as far as I know. Mm-hmm. Holy crap, Brian. I could eat there every day, plus twice on Sunday. It was so good.
Good, huh?
Yeah.
So, but it's things, they put the additional items in the sandwich besides cheese. So it's not a true grilled cheese. It's grilled and it has cheese.
Right.
But they could just call it, you know, the grilled sandwich place.
They totally could, but you can get full on just straight up grilled cheese if you want.
Well, sure.
But they have a lot of like weird, but the main point is the bread is huge, super fresh and good. Just big, gnarly, awesome. It's just really good. You feel like you're eating something special. So I recommend it. Yeah. If you're in the, I guess you'd call it the American Fork area, which is just east of me, you would, you'd want to stop there and check out the Melty Way.
Next time we're driving through, we'll stop by because I think we pass through American Fork on the way.
I think you do.
On the way to SLC when we drive out there.
I think you do too. And you could also stop by J Dog's, which isn't far from there. That's that big weird hot dog place where the hot dogs are huge, but they look like big gnarled up like walrus penises. Like they're just the weirdest looking things.
Really?
Yeah, so good though. Oh,
that sounds great.
That place is great. It's this hole in the wall called J Dogs, and I could eat there every day too. It's so freaking good. Anyway, so there you go. Now, I didn't have a confession today. Did you?
Well, it's funny that you started this thing, this confessions thing.
Yeah.
And I gotta admit, I'll confess that when I saw Scott has a confession in the thing yesterday, I thought it was gonna be something a lot more heinous than you've never touched my bald head.
What did you think it was going to be? Give me an example.
Oh, I had no idea. I thought this was going to be like this new thing we were doing where it would be, all right, I confess that da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Right.
But what you've started, there's a tadpole discussion in the tadpole group on Facebook that's like 110 items wide with people confessing, like some people saying, I don't like Star Trek, or I've never seen Firefly, or I don't get the appeal of Breaking Bad, or things like that.
Right.
And it's this great kind of cleansing, like this, you know what, I've been wanting to get this off my chest for a while. I'm in a safe place surrounded by people who support me and love me and won't judge me. I don't like Doctor Who, is what somebody might say.
Okay, so it's geeky confessions though, right? It's not like anybody's going, every Labor Day on the third hour of the third day, I have sex with a horse. It's not like that.
Right. No, okay. Somebody confessed that they took a penny once and didn't leave a penny.
Oh.
And have yet to leave a penny. But that's really the extent of the – it's all geek related.
It's great.
And it is really cool. And so I am going to confess that I have never, nor have I ever wanted to, had any desire to own a Transformer.
Whoa, wait a minute. Really? Not even as a kid?
Not even as a kid. Just never saw the appeal of Transformers. You know, I had Micronauts. I was fine with those. I had Star Trek or Star Wars action figures and superhero action figures, little Secret Wars dudes, and never saw the appeal. I'm sorry. I saw the appeal for other people, never had the appeal to ever want a transformer. So you won't even turns into a truck. So what? Give me a truck.
So you won't even transform.
Didn't watch the cartoon. Never saw. I've never seen a single episode of the cartoon.
Wow.
The only Transformers thing I've ever experienced is the first movie.
And that's it. No, none of the other two.
And that certainly didn't draw me in.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah. That's very interesting to me.
Yes.
Not even GoBots or any equivalency.
No GoBots. No. What was the big robot that could turn into like five?
Cats?
Thundercats, is it?
Thundercats was no, all the no. just cats. But you're talking about Voltron.
Voltron, yeah. Yes. No interest.
None? Really? Wow.
I like giant. It's funny because it's not a giant robot aversion because Micronauts had giant robots. I mean, Biotron was this big freaking robot. None of the TV shows / toys that came out in that era. That were kind of along those same lines ever did anything for me.
No interest.
You can't handle the truth.
Okay, that's our new theme.
There you go.
That's our new theme.
There you go. That's our confession theme.
Yeah, we're going to use that from now on. All right. That's interesting. So, okay, I have one. I like the idea that it's like stuff supposedly we're all supposed to be nerds about and everybody's all in on the story, but you're just, you know, you didn't do it or whatever. For me, it is the Doctor Who thing, and it's not that I don't like Doctor Who. I've never seen any more than like 10 minutes of any of it.
Really?
I just haven't seen it. Wow. Haven't seen the Chris Eccleston time. Nope. Saw maybe 5 minutes of the first episode. Not that I went. Mm-hmm. I wasn't like watching it. Went up. Turn that off. I'm not interested. I just saw it in passing or something. Said, yeah, I probably should watch that one day. So it's less of a confession about. Okay, this isn't entirely true. I did watch that 1950 whatever era original 20-minute Doctor Who thing, but we did that for autopilot.
And right.
That's the most I've had with Doctor Who. Tom Baker would just be a thing that would show up on Channel 7 sometimes, and I'd be like, what the hell is this? And I'd move on with my life. Like, it's not a thing. And everyone freaks out that I'm not all up into Doctor Who now, that it's not the ultimate thing I'm watching all the time. So there. I like this. This is fun. We're going to do more
feel
of
better?
This. Yeah. Yeah. So once in a while, it might be Labor Day horse sex.
Wait.
Maybe. I'm just saying.
Every once in a while, sure.
Sure. I mean, I have some doozies if I really wanted to pull out the old ones, but nothing.
Dwayne Knight asks, Brian, do you like cars or vehicles? Is that an either or are you asking if I like cars or vehicles of any sort? I had a big collection of Matchbox cars and this great plastic track. I wish I still had the plastic track because I would actually do this crazy twisty mount on the wall kind of thing. I've been
that's great.
Eager to get back into that and loop de loops and stuff like that. But I liked robots. I liked cars. Didn't care for anything. I just don't hold with the things that merge the two.
You don't like it when the two came together. So you never once as a kid fantasized that, wouldn't it be cool if that car could like jump over that ravine, transform in the air, and then lay waste to everybody with guns. That didn't appeal to you at all.
Did not do anything.
That I think it. That why is not a
just
very.
Make, why not just make a more? Why not just make a robot? I mean, does it have to be in disguise? Really?
All right, you make well, a good. That's it, a good point. It,
you know,
it's a good point.
are the Decepticons more likely to invade if these giant robots are just walking free around the Earth as opposed to disguised as Camaros and
so it's boom a plot, so it's a plot point problem you have.
No, I don't know if that is, but I don't think it is. It just. adds to it.
I love it. The Transformer, he doesn't hold with the Transformers lore, is what this comes down to. All right. I like your confession. Perhaps more than I should. It's better than my I've never touched your bald head thing. Let's call Daryl. That sound can only mean one thing. This is coming. It's Stumpet Trekner brought to you by
Fox Amour, pianist, composer, awesome. Original music that takes you on an epic adventure of magical melodies and stirring songs that will leave you wanting amour. He needs your support to make Come Find Me his next album, his greatest yet, and to go record at the Abbey Road Studios with some amazing stretch goals. Go to igg.me/@comefindme and also check him out at Facebook at Fox Amour Music or SoundCloud at Fox Amour. That's FOX-AMOORE. Don't listen. Feel.
Daryl, how do you stand with the Transformers? Is that a thing as a kid you liked, or are you like Brian, where you don't understand why we got to have both?
Well, I think I was a little older, so maybe I missed that whole thing by a little bit.
Yeah.
So, I never really got into it either, but I think the idea is neat, and I really looked forward to the movie until I saw it.
And then you realize it was terrible, and it could have been great. See, here's the problem.
If the movie was better, I would have been like, oh, now I see the appeal.
Yeah, maybe. if that was your only exposure, that's a very good point, because those movies are just bad, and they could have been great. Like, if they would have just take 5 minutes and realize, oh, Transformers is at its best when it's about the robots. It's not about this kid or his parents or the jokey joke. Yeah. It's not about that. It was never about that. I understand that Hollywood thinks we need these characters to feel like we relate to them, but I don't. I need Optimus Prime telling everybody to roll out. That's all I need. Daryl, it's good to have you back. Trek Nerd Time. Stump a Trek Nerd is a perennial thing. Well, it's not perennial. We do it every day. What do we call it? It's a daily thing. We do it every day. It's on the show. It's a thing where we ask Daryl a hard trivia question about Star Trek. He tries to answer it in the only way he knows how, which is with his giant, throbbing, veiny brain. And
wow.
I know, right?
There's almost an explicit tag in here.
The word brain saved us. So I'm going to give you a hard trivia question right now, Daryl. Are you ready?
I guess so. I'm just glad you didn't ask me for my confession.
No.
Okay, move on.
Ooh, give us one. Give us one. Give us one.
I think we need one now.
Yeah, give us one. Anyone.
Now that you mention it.
Yeah, hold on. Let me play your theme. Hold on. Here's your theme for it. Here goes.
You can't handle the truth!
There you go. What is it?
Well, just about any TV in the last 10 or 15 years, I haven't seen anything.
What?
So would include...
No BSG.
Right.
No Battlestar Galactica, no
no Breaking
Game
Bad,
of Thrones,
no Game of Thrones.
Right.
No. Really?
Right, right.
Really? No Justified, no no The Wire, no Sopranos, no
except Enterprise. Enterprise has to be.
Yeah, that's in the last 10 or 15.
Yeah, well, I saw that. Yeah.
Okay. So, why is that? That's very weird.
Just no time, I guess.
All right. Well, I mean, I'm not judging or anything, but I'm, like, at some point maybe you'll you know, it'll be 30 years from now, old man Skeel's on his porch going, I should catch up on the television. And you'll go in there and have
a little binge watching.
I did watch one episode of BSG, the very first episode, and then I thought, well, I don't get it. Why should I watch this?
Really? Oh, I love that show. We're watching it again.
And then
right
also,
now. Loving it.
Let's see, what was that other show? Not Fringe. The J.J. Abrams one.
Lost,
yeah. I watched some of that, and I was totally lost. I totally didn't get that.
The way you're talking about it is funny to me. Like, what's that J.J. Abrams thing? Now, what's that thing called? It's like one of the most, probably the most landmark things ever made. Like, that show, like, if you don't know the name Lost, you're kind of... But that's interesting that you're sort of... You've kept away from all... You know, I wonder how that would be. It's not like you're a lesser person because of it. I mean, it's not like we're all smarter because of it. We've just been... possibly slightly more entertained than you over the last decade? I don't know.
Again, this is a judge-free zone, and we welcome all, serve all, and happy to have you.
Except judges. We don't want them. Stay away.
When I watched Lost, the only thing I could think of is, why is it always night?
This is what I like about you, though. You always look... You approach everything like this. Like, why does that camera move so much?
There was lots of daytime shots.
Yeah, there was lots of daytime stuff. It's not always at night.
Oh, it must have just been the ones I saw.
I think so, yeah. Did you see the first episode? The plane crashes during the day.
Yeah, broad daylight.
No, I didn't see that one.
Oh, wait, so you jumped in the middle somewhere. Yeah, that'll kill you on Lost. You can't do that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you got to start with Jack's eyeball in the forest or whatever it is. All right, fair enough. That's an interesting confession. I think that you there are treasure troves waiting for you if you ever got hungry for a little something. There's lots of stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure there are.
I think you'd get a kick out of Lost.
Yeah.
But
don't watch Breaking Bad, because I worry that would inspire you to become a meth maven.
Really?
Yeah. He
like
could
that
be.
Well,
Daryl has kind of a Heisenberg quality to him, don't you think? Just
a little
bit.
He does. He's our Walter White, really. Yeah. Our pre Blue Rock Walter White.
Right. And that scares me just a little bit. All right, Daryl. Well, here's your hard trivia question about Star Trek.
A show
that you did watch a ton of over and over and over, and has pretty much taken the place of all other television entertainment. In the original series episode, the Carbomite Maneuver. Isn't it Carbonite? No, Corbomite maneuver. Why am I saying car? Yeah. Oh, I'm thinking of Star
because
Wars.
Of Han Solo. Yeah,
yeah, that Daryl doesn't know about Han Solo. Don't talk to him about
wrapped
that.
In carbon.
That's a movie I know about.
Oh, okay,
that.
You've seen the movies. All right. Spock has the bridge when they... Do you never saw X-Files?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Some? A little bit?
Yeah, that's more than 10 years ago.
That was before I got busy.
All right. Did you ever watch... I can't think of anything else. There's a lot of shows.
Futurama.
Oh, yeah, Futurama. That's right.
Yeah, there you go.
Rama. In the Pacific Northwest, they say Rama. We say Rama here in Utah. Anyway, Spock has the bridge when they come in contact with a strange object. Kirk is elsewhere on the ship. Or as he wrote, Elsa here on the ship. Where is Captain Kirk when they encounter this object? In other words, where is this mythical elsewhere? Is it A, his quarters, B, engineering, C, sick bay, or D, the transporter room? So his quarters, engineering, sick bay, or transporter room. You do know this one right off the bat?
Unless I'm wrong.
All right, well, hold on to your butts, because before you do any of that, before you say another word...
Are you hungry?
Are you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
We're going to eat... what did we decide? Oh, yeah. We're going to eat the Howie Mandel.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Let's see. Freya Mandel Stang. I assume those are...
It's a candy bar that's germaphobe. It's great.
On Twitter, we were being ridiculed for badly producing, or not producing, pronouncing Norwegian words.
Right, yes. And then I tried to make a joke about somebody from Denmark sending me a Danish, and that didn't...
didn't go over.
Didn't go over.
Those Danes are hard to please. We got this from April from Viking Lass, who we love and adore. She's awesome. By the way, my daughter Carter thinks that art she sent is the coolest thing in the history of ever. So thanks again for that.
Totally is. Yeah.
Okay, this has a convenient tear off line, so good way to go Norway.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's really neat.
Yeah, thank you for making our lives easier. Now I'm a little worried that this seems so dense, like.
Yeah.
I'm noticing this theme with Norwegian treats is that they're dense and heavy.
And I couldn't even tell you what this is as far as, what this thing is that we're about to eat. Like, what?
Are those nuts?
Is it nuts? Is it chocolate? Is it goat? I don't know. I don't know what it is.
It's goat. Goat jerky.
You know,
come on now.
If I can go back to yesterday, the Q's nuts.
Oh yeah, Q's nuts.
On the back. Yeah. On the back it says warning contains nuts.
Oh, no way, dude. Are you serious? Like is that how far we've come, America, where we need to warn everybody about nut allergies as we have to put on a thing that is obviously nuts to say warning this contains nuts?
I guess so.
That means we think the general public is really, really stupid. That's what that means. And I don't think that's fair. I think people can see that it's a nut, especially at, like, some kid who's allergic to peanuts. You don't give them a bowl of peanuts and have them go, oh, dear, I don't know what these are, nom, 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 and then dies. Give me a break. I surely deserve it. I finally made it to the top. All right, this is open now. Let's eat it. There's some sort of nuts, chocolates, whale sperm. Something happening on the top of this. I don't know what this is, but let's give it a shot.
That does look like that. Man, on the inside, there's that.
Yeah, look at that. Oh, this is not bad.
Oh, it smells good.
Oh, it's softer.
That's not bad. It's a little sweet.
I still can't identify what the hell I'm eating.
I can't either.
No, it's like a Tralane food. It has form but no taste.
My Grandpa Ward was his name. When he was on this here earth, he had breath like this. That's what this reminds me of. The taste of this is the smell of his breath.
It's very, very sweet.
He was a pipe smoker, and he also liked candy, hard candy. So I think I'm getting a weird vibe off this.
You're getting kind of those pipe. Things. Yeah, I could see that kind of...
like robots and cars. Perfect combination. Okay, that's not bad. I still don't know what I'm eating, but yeah. You know that feeling?
Howie Mandel's breath.
Yeah. Yeah, this captured for everyone in this. Mandel Stang. I don't like the word stang. That's dangerous. That's what you were when you were stung. If you were saying it wrong, right? I was stung by a bee. No, it's stung by a bee. Mama, I think I done got stung by a bee. Like that. Okay.
Boom, boom, boom. Whoa. Now let me hear.
Sorry. I don't know why that played. Woo. Woo. All right, the original series episode. Back to... Oh, no, let's get to birthdays. Who's celebrating and why?
Oh, that would be Roxanne Dawson. She's 55 today. She was Lieutenant B'Elanna Torres on Voyager.
Oh, she's that old? Wow. She played... she must have been a little older during Voyager and played... I mean, she looked really young. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Late 30s, early 40s probably then.
She's
lovely. I like her.
Mm-hmm.
I like her a lot. Well, good for her. Happy birthday. Celebrate it well. didn't her and Tom Paris have a thing? Weren't they a... I don't mean the actors. I mean the characters. Didn't they have a little fling-flang going on? I don't remember where it very well because I've had 10 years of other television to change my memory of TV. But Daryl probably remembers. You've seen all you see is Star Trek.
Yeah, not so much Voyager, but I'm getting into it now. So.
Yeah, I like Voyager. It's good.
Did they have a thing? I think they might have.
I think they might have had a thing, even if it was a short thing.
Sure.
Like Worf and everyone. Worf had a thing with everyone. Yeah.
He was. She directed, speaking of Lost, she directed the episode called The Long Con, where you get some of Sawyer's history.
That was a great one.
Yeah.
It was
directed by Roxanne Dawson.
That's great. Congratulations to her then for extending her purview. She's like the she's like the Peter Billingsley of Star Trek. Isn't that the kid's name from Christmas Story? Something like that. Is it Peter Billingsley? Whatever it is.
Peter Billingsley, yes. Yeah. No, that's
that
exactly
guy's like
a
big time
is,
producer and Hollywood guy now. Did some Iron Man something. Anyway. Daryl, back to the question. In this episode, Corbomite maneuver. He was Captain Kirk was nowhere to be seen, but it turns out he was in his A quarters, B engineering, C sick bay, or D the transporter room. What say you?
Well, first I was thinking sick bay because I can see him there. Wasn't he having a physical or something? He was pushing on those boxes in the wall or something with his feet.
Oh, right, right. Yep, I remember that.
And then he had a towel around his neck. And I think when he had the towel around his neck, they went on the wall thing, and he pushed the button and said, "Kirk here," and that's when he found out about it.
Awesome.
Okay, great. I'm going to take your word for it. So you say.
Although he might have been in his quarters by then, so now I'm not sure.
Oh, all right. Well.
I'll say sick. That I'll just stay with sick bay.
You stay with sick bay? All right, well, let's find out. Judges will know. Is it sick bay?
Congratulations!
Ooh, good thing.
You're a winner!
He didn't change it. He is getting his quarterly fitness exam by Dr. McCoy. Here's a clip of Kirk working out. Try and pretend it's something else. It's a lot funnier that way. So here you go.
Oh!
Just a few seconds more.
Just a few seconds more.
Seconds more.
Oh! That's the boy, keep it up.
I can't listen to that anymore. That made me really uncomfortable. Thanks a lot, Ice Worm. That worked out well. There you go, Daryl. Congratulations. You've done it. You've nailed it, as always. And that's because he is the Trek Nerd. And you can follow him on Twitter under that name, The Trek Nerd, on Twitter, at The Trek Nerd. You can also find him on This Week in Trek at ThisWeekinTrek.com. Daryl, you got a little mineral contest for us here at the end?
Yes.
Right.
Is this a Star Trek alien or an actual mineral?
All right.
And it is. The word is. Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Tellurium.
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 Alien.
I'm going to say mineral.
Oh, Scott is slipping. It's a mineral.
Damn
it's a metal.
It!
There were Tellurians, though, right? That were aliens.
Is that what I'm thinking of? Tellurians.
Tellurites,
tilapians, telephoto...
tilapians. Little fish aliens.
Little fish aliens. Oh, look, it's the news.
And it's brought to you by The Final Score, the video game podcast for the rest of us, where Nicole, Brian, and Scott talk about the games of today, tomorrow, and yesterday. But not necessarily in that order. Subscribe at finalscoreshow.com today.
Sounds good to me. Red Lobster employee suspended. After posting racist recipe online.
Oh God, they're still doing that, huh? Where they're putting racist comments on the
on receipts and
on receipts. Yeah, the cracker over there ordered the Subway $5 foot long.
Yeah, it seems to be a trend. Haven't we covered three or four of these in our in our time at the mic? I think so. The waitress tip, zilch.
Oh, this is worse.
This is way worse.
It's a different thing.
Yeah, the reason was she was black, and now Tony Jenkins, who works at Red Lobster in Nashville, Tennessee, was suspended with full pay for posting the racist jibe on Facebook. Why are you getting full pay? Anyway, Tony Jenkins found the receipt after she served a couple in their 20s at the restaurant in the Nashville suburb on Saturday afternoon. Posted the receipt on Facebook, apparently to raise awareness of racism in the state. It promptly went viral. The couple was extremely rude, but I introduced myself to them and they did not respond. When I came to take their order, they simply told me they wanted their food and to put everything to go in a go box. I offered them dessert, but they told me abruptly that they just wanted a check. Jenkins stole the Daily Mail. When she returned, they departed and left the receipt with the slur on the table.
Oh, my God.
She showed the receipt to her manager.
Yeah, this is horrendous.
This bad. Who told her she was innocent and did not deserve the abuse. However, the restaurant suspended her on full pay after she posted the bill on her Facebook profile. So she's in trouble for posting it online. It was the couple who said the racist thing and put it on her thing.
Right.
And it's bad. Right. I'm not going to tell you what it says.
Yeah.
It's bad.
No. Tip says none.
Yeah.
Like they've written the word none for tip and then racial slur for the total and then signed it like, you know, basically.
Yeah. Big old N-word.
That's horrendous.
Yeah. Who's doing that? Who are you people that are doing this? What are you doing? It's 2013. Mm. Is this really happening now? Come on. This isn't the 20s.
Jeez.
Where racism is a fun pastime. That doesn't exist anymore, right?
So right.
It's not who we are. All right, white people? Come on.
Ugh.
Pull it together. iPhone 5S was announced yesterday.
Yeah.
We'll talk to Tom about it a little bit more.
So. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, look, this is the way this stuff goes. I believe this very strongly. This is true of both major camps in phone making and even Microsoft in third place. There's just not going to be a lot of new, really new groundbreaking stuff under the sun for a while.
Right.
We're in iteration mode, folks. That's the way it is.
And there doesn't have to be. You know, it's like you don't have to get something groundbreaking every single time there's a new iPhone.
No.
And we've been conditioned to be like, oh, wow, new form factor. Guess what? You know what the same form factor means? It means you can use those cases, same cases, and you don't have to worry about getting new cases, right?
Yeah.
The 5 cases work for the 5S.
Or wait for the 6. If you're like, I don't care if it recognizes my thumb, although I kind of do care and I kind of want that.
I kind of do too.
I like the double, you know, all the extra speed, the super slow-mo camera. Like, there's stuff to want about this one. I'm probably going to sucker it and get it because I am up for an upgrade. Then I'll be mad next year when the 6 comes out. But here's the point. The point is, for me, for these things, and we'll get Tom on and talk more about this in more details.
Yeah,
sure. I want people just to get this out of this mindset of just, well, it's the same thing with anything on the internet. Everyone's pissed about everything for no reason. It's like being pissed because someone's announcing a new product and being pissed because it isn't something that's, you know, blowing everybody's mind or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the years post the first Macintosh or the years post the first version of Windows or the, you know, whatever. That's how this works. Nobody gets all excited about new PCs anymore. Why? Because we've gotten past the innovation part. Now we're just iterating. Now they're just faster, better, stronger, you know, tweaks here, tweaks there, feature here, feature there. But we're not going to reinvent it every 6 months. It doesn't work that
right.
way. Welcome and, to
and
life.
What's great about this is it's an incremental update. It adds a couple new features, but it's nothing that and the fanboy or the anti Apple fanboys love to always say. Well, here's another reason, you know, people are just going to upgrade this so they can get the new thing. I'm sure a lot of people who have their iPhone 5s totally happy, saying, you know what, this is great. It's not a massive change enough for me to want to get the next big thing. I'll wait until the 6.
Doesn't justify the $300 or whatever you're going to pay for your upgrade.
So it's, you know, it negates that argument.
Yeah. My kids all want the 5C.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Tristan does too. I never even talked to him about it, but
$100.
He's got big old cracks in his in the glass on his 4. I think he's just got a 4, not even a 4S.
Yeah, so if
Tina's got my old, he's got my old 4. Tina's got my old 4S, and then I've got the 5.
Yeah, yeah. See, I like how your brain works with upgrades. It works nicely.
Hell yes.
See how much Tina wants a 5, then you might have a 5S,
and I might have a 5S. Yeah. Nah.
But I don't know. It's a funny thing to watch people freak out and. You know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Apple fanboys are famous for this too. I remember when like a new version of Windows 9, like I remember when Windows 98 came out, there were T-shirts that Mac people would wear that would say Windows 98, more like Mac 84. You know, like,
right.
Way to go. And now people are like, super slow-mo camera. My HTC One did that last year. It's like, okay, all right, okay. Enjoy your phone then. What are you going to talk to me about? Got myself into a lather there.
You did. Worked yourself up.
The Rice Diet Boot Camp closes its doors after 70 years. You hear about this?
You cannot eat rice.
Yeah, that's right. This is a thing that's been around forever. I remember as a kid hearing about this. Participants would lose 20 to 30 pounds in the first month. That was the goal of the thing. I think the whole business was challenged during the hardest part of the recession. And also, my husband was ready to retire, says Kitty Rossati, the owner's wife and author of the book Rice Diet Solution. The couple tried to close a deal with several potential buyers of the North Carolina headquarters, but all of them fell through. But basically, this is a famous diet that somebody started, I guess, let's see, Dr. Walter Kempner founded in the 1930s. And it was to help combat high blood pressure, diabetes, and heart disease. Or as they wrote here, hearth disease. Nice job, HNGN.com. And all the famous, this is where all the famous people would go. So if you were like an actor. Okay.
It was like the Betty Ford Clinic of rice diets.
Yeah, okay. So you'd be like, I gotta go to the North Carolina rice boot camp, see, before I come back and do another film. It's like, it was all that era. All big Hollywood would go there and lose weight. So anyway, gone forever. Hmm. Goodbye.
Interesting.
I have good news, everyone. Good news.
All right.
Good news, everyone. Squarespace, who we love and who is sponsoring this week and many weeks of the program, has informed me that the code we've been giving out actually gives you more of a discount than we had previously said.
Ooh.
So we've been saying, hey, 10% off. Well, we've had some people go use the code and say, hey, they're giving me 20. And then I dug back through some emails and found, oh, yeah, they did tell me. They bumped it to 20. You're actually getting 20% off using our Morning Street code.
And it's just for September if you get the same email as I did. So.
Yeah, I believe so. September, so, as far as I know, only. So get on it now.
Right.
Is the point.
Dude.
Squarespace.com. Build your custom presence online. You're going to put up a blog. You're going to do whatever. Like, my daughter's using Squarespace to do her photo site. And it's awesome because the way she does her galleries and everything else, it's perfectly suited for her. She doesn't have to be a web genius programmer. She just knows how to move a mouse around. It's really pretty much that simple. If you're a more complicated developer type dude and you just want most of the hard, heavy lifting already done for you, well, then this is a great solution for you as well. It's awesome. It's great. And they'll support you all the way through it. 24/7 support. Go to squarespace.com right now. Set up a free trial. It's real easy. You don't even have to put a credit card in. You just try it out. You start building your website. Get this free trial at squarespace.com. If you decide to purchase it, use the offer code MORNING9. That'll get you 20% off your first purchase on all new accounts. That includes all monthly and annual plans. Don't forget about the free domain registrations for annual plan customer subscriptions. That's important, and they'll do that for you as well. That's squarespace.com, and use the offer code MORNING9. Create your own space right now at squarespace.com.
If communists have attempted to inject their propaganda into the motion picture, they have failed miserably.
It's Celebrity Poop, brought to you by
Sword and Laser, the show that takes fantasy and science fiction reading to levels you never thought possible. Join Tom Merritt and Veronica Belmont for each episode and let your fiction hang out. Subscribe at swordandlaser.com today.
Disney delayed the pirate sequel, the new Pirates of the Caribbean. How do you say it? Which one do you say?
Caribbean. Pirates of the Caribbean.
So do I. This is only right and good, and any other way is stupid and wrong.
The only pronunciation that matters.
Right. I've heard people say it the other way, and it irritates me every time
I hear
it.
Well, yeah. No, and it's funny because I think in other contexts,
yeah,
I would probably say Caribbean.
Yeah, like if you're going to say, I'm going on a Caribbean cruise, sounds better than saying, I'm going on a Caribbean cruise.
Caribbean cruise. Yet if I'm Billy Ocean, it's absolutely Caribbean Queen.
Right.
Now we're sharing the same dream.
Caribbean
and
Queen.
Our hearts, exactly. And our hearts can beat as one.
Right. Get into my car.
That's funny. Doesn't it change the number of syllables? Caribbean. Caribbean is four. Caribbean.
Nope, still four. Yeah, you're right.
So he could sing it as Caribbean Queen. Yeah, and it doesn't work.
Caribbean Queen.
See, but as soon as you separate it out, it's putting the emphasis on the second syllable.
Well, you can say,
or the first syllable.
You can more say Caribbean, like you can really get it in there, right? Fast. So I think it's better for songs.
Caribbean Queen.
Caribbean Queen. Who was this? The Get Out of My Car and Into My Brain, or what was it called?
Same guy. Get Out of My Dreams and Into My Car.
Into
by
my
the way,
car, that was it. Yeah.
Big cool piece of trivia for you about Billy Ocean.
Sure.
Four songs of his made it to the number one spot on Billboard charts, all with eight words in the title.
What? Give me examples. Well, that was one of them.
Get Out of My Dreams and Into My Car, I don't think is one of them because, wait, Get Out of My Dreams, Get Into My Car. Yes, that's one of them.
That's one.
When the Going Gets
Tough.
No, that's not
tough,
that one.
Tough.
Oh, Caribbean Queen, No More Love on the Run. Is because that's the parenthetical, No More Love on the Run.
All right.
There'll Be Sad Songs to Make You Cry.
Wow.
And the fourth one is...
Get Out of My Car and Get Back in My Dreams.
What the heck is the fourth one?
I thought you'd be better in my car, but you kind of suck, so I'd like you back in my dreams where everything was perfect. You didn't fart in my dreams, but you farted in my car.
That's what it is, yes.
Okay, great.
Okay, well, we'll have that fourth one before too long.
Yeah, we'll get on that. We'll get on that. It's important. We're all about accuracy.
It is. Well, it's a suspense now of these four songs, and I've only been able to give you three of them.
Well, Disney has decided to push that their pirate sequel after, I think, because of the poor and hideous performance of the Lone Ranger business. I think they feel, and I think I kind of agree, that the Johnny Depp thing that Johnny Depp does needs a break. Mm-hmm. I think that is not box office gold anymore. People kind of roll their eyes and go, okay, we're good now. We don't need more of this. Because that movie was bad. I took Terpster to that.
It wasn't. Yeah. Oh, did you really?
Yeah,
how funny.
What kind of an American host am I, Brian? I didn't know. I thought it'd be all right, but it was bad. They pushed it because of Ant-Man. They're going to put Ant-Man ahead of it. That's good news, I suppose. They are going to push the release of Pirates of the Caribbean 5, the latest in the blockbuster series starring Johnny Depp. The movie had been scheduled to open in theaters July 10th, 2015. This is a ways off still, even then. Disney's announcement gave no reason for the film's delay. A person familiar with the project said studio executives did not think the script and other aspects of the film, a.k.a. Johnny Depp's performance, we're ready for it to start production. No date was given for the film's release. The delay on Pirates 5 comes the day after the studio said it would move up the release of another big-budget film, Ant-Man, from October 2015 to July of 2015, 3 weeks after Johnny Depp's film originally was scheduled to be released. Ant-Man is based on a superhero created by Marvel Comics, whose Iron Man and other action heroes have made into hit movies. Yeah, Ant-Man's still, I don't know, I'm on the fence. I'm way up on that fence on Ant-Man.
Really, with Ant-Man?
Yeah.
See, I think it could be done, especially if they have the kind of the tongue-in-cheek sense of humor that that the most recent comic book had.
I guess in the right hands. It's what's his name did Shaun of the Dead stuff, right? Who's the director?
Oh, I don't know.
I want to say it's him. I can't think of his name. Oh. Who's the director on all those movies?
Like the Hot Fuzz and the
Edgar Wright.
Edgar Wright.
Isn't
so
that
he's
him?
He's tied to this?
Yes, I think he is directing. I think that is correct. And so, okay. Chat room is neither confirming nor denying at this point. Pretty sure that's who that is. Anyway, the four Pirates of the Caribbean implements have generated more than $3.7 billion in worldwide ticket sales. Boy, that last one was a shithole, though. Do you watch the fourth one? It's so bad, Brian.
Yeah, it wasn't very good, yeah.
These are Transformers-level movies for me. I don't like them at all. I love the first one.
And was it the fact that none of the people, that the only person, well, I guess Barbarossa, or Barbossa, Barbarossa, Barbarella.
Barbarossa, yeah.
But that you didn't have Orlando Bloom and what's her face?
I think it's because they're four hours long and they're directed by Gore Verbinski. And Gore Verbinski does not know how to edit. And he did the same thing with Lone Ranger. That thing was overly long and really bad. I don't think he's got a touch for it anymore. I think he got lucky with that first one and the rest are just by the numbers. I think they're crap.
Huh.
Second one I didn't hate. I think it's because Bill Nye was in it, and that guy's great. Not the science guy.
He is great. Yeah, Bill Nighy.
Nighy or whatever.
Nighy.
That guy's awesome. Slarty Bartfarst is who he is. Let's see. In other news, Sharon Osbourne, you know, Ozzy's wife.
Yeah.
It's a yes from me, that one.
I was waiting for that.
She has revealed a secret fling. You hear about this? With Jay Leno.
This blows my mind. Completely and totally blows my mind.
Pretty weird, right?
I cannot picture the two of the must have been the most annoying conversations to overhear, you know?
Here's how it went. So I got you want to go back to the hotel? You want to go back to the hotel room with me?
You want
to
see this? You want to see this?
You want to see this? You want to see my penis? That's a yes from me. Let's see. Sharon Osbourne kept the secret for so long she can't remember all the details. As part of the new season of The Talk on Monday, during the big secret segment, Osbourne, age 60, revealed that she had a fling with Jay Leno a long, long time ago. Quote, "It's not like a dirty little secret," she said nervously before telling her story. "When I was 25, I had just moved to America," she explains. "I didn't know many people." That would have been 1978. This is what the article figures. Quote, "I had met my husband Ozzy, but we weren't together. We were just friends. I didn't have a boyfriend. I never did date a lot at that time. Anyway, because of this, I was not very dateable." The story goes on. She meets Jay Leno. She falls in love with his chin. Says he liked my voice. One thing led to another. He came to my house. We met. We had a little fling. The fling was more than a thing for me, but not fling enough for him, she said, calling it a flingy wingy.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Let's see. I'm trying to find this. A friendship, something. Oh, he took her to Fatburger for dinner.
Really?
Yeah. Took her to Fatburger.
Probably in a really cool old car, like an old refurbished Camaro or something.
Yeah. And she said the audience gave her a standing ovation. Really? Has it come to this? Do we care that much? We gave her a standing ovation. Oh, she's really, you know, Brian, it takes a brave
she's
woman.
She's so brave.
So brave to drag Jay Leno's name through the dirt. Let's see. Right. The audience gave her an ovation when asked if the sex was good. Osbourne said it was so long ago. Leno, 63, is known for his longstanding marriage. Yeah, it means no.
Which means no, and I don't want to call him out.
Hey, hear about this? Meh.
Just give you the headlines.
Yeah.
It was not very good.
Just give you the headlines. Nicely done. Leno, 63, is known for his long-lasting marriage to Mavis, who he wed in 1980, has not commented on the revelation so far. So there you go. Whatever. Who cares?
It's Mavis.
Mavis. Who's Mavis?
Mavis.
Does she teach typing? Mavis Beacon?
Mavis Beacon?
Mavis Leno teaches typing? Great. All right, moving on. Really, do you just go by the name Mavis? I guess Mavis Leno. It just says he's married, Leno, he's married to Mavis, as if I should know who that is.
It's just funny that there's more than two people out there named Mavis. I can think of Mavis Staples and Mavis Beacon.
Yeah, Mavis Beacon.
But you never ever hear the name Mavis anywhere else.
No. Not really new kids either, right? Like babies are never named
Mavis. Oh, gosh. What's your son's name? Mavis.
Mavis. What's your last name?
Really?
Beacon. Well, how much does he type? 20 words.
Was Mertz not available? And Malamo?
Malamo. I want to get a pet and name him Malamo.
Malamo.
I like it. We had to put the dog and the cat in daycare yesterday. How pathetic is that? Because, well, when they, you know, the agent's like, you don't want to have pets around, yeah, so you got to get them out of there. So, we literally leave the house locked, but all the lights on, every room, every closet, everything's on. Mm-hmm. You take the pets, we take them over to this lady who watches pets during the day for $5 a pet. And she just pet sits all day while you go do your other thing, and then you go back. I feel like it's a bit of a racket. $5 adds up after a few days.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
She takes them out and fights them all in the backyard on YouTube.
Exactly. And I went in her house. She's got these, she does grooming and some other stuff in her basement. So it's kind of a business for her, but the entire house is just full of animals. There's giant pythons in a cage across the opening door. There's a parrot that yells swear words the second you walk in. There's just animals everywhere.
Really?
Yeah. And the poor cat, I mean, he thought he was going to die. He didn't know what was going on there. Just got up on this high perch. She's got like a big jungle thing for cats, and I got up on the highest point and sat there the whole time and never came down. So when we picked him up, we had the litter box in our car. Thing went immediately to the litter box and took the biggest cat crap I've ever seen in the car. It's not been fun.
Really?
Yeah, I don't enjoy any of this stuff. It sucks. Aww. Tweaked Audio sponsoring today's program. We love these guys. They've been around with us for so long, and they deserve your support as they've been supporting the show. And you guys have been so great with them, and they've been great with you, and that's been great for us. It's a nice symbiotic three-way relationship with our sponsors, and we're proud of that, especially with Tweaked Audio. They've been so good for so long. Five wonderful colors, seven great styles. I got that backwards. Five styles, great, seven colors, all designed to sound great for you. Music and talk. Doesn't matter what. Could be me. Could be Glenn Beck, for all I care.
Sure.
Please let it be me. Noise reduction is a must, and all engineered for durability. You want these things to hold up, so that's how they do it. And if they don't, well, they'll still cover you. Lifetime warranty on everything. That's Stream at checkout at tweakedaudio.com. That'll get you 33% off. Go do it today. That's 33% off with Stream at checkout at tweakedaudio.com. All right, Brian, it's break time. It's music time. What do you have for us?
I have a request from someone you and I know very well, someone that every week we get together with. We watch a film individually, of course. I'm talking about Brian effing Dunaway.
Whoa. The what do we call him? The Ringo Starr of the Frog Pants family.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. He emailed in, says, because I like to rock out with my hands out while I'm exercising during TMS. Can I get some pumped up jams? He wants Iran by Bowling for Soup. Okay. No problem. Right. Cover of Flock of Seagulls, of course. And you'll find this on their album Drunk Enough to Dance from 2010. Going out to Brian Dunaway and his scrote.
And his scrote. Hold on.
My scrote.
There you go.
There it is. Yep. Here's I Ran So Far Away by Bowling for Soup.
All right, sounds good. We'll play it. We'll be back in a minute. We've got Nicole. We've got Tom. We've got more. Stay tuned.
I walked along the avenue. I never thought I'd meet a girl like you. Meet a girl like you.
Something great. It's Rely, a new tampon from Procter & Gamble. It's really different and better. Rely is a major improvement in tampons. So it's a major improvement in feminine protection. But don't take my word for it. Find out for yourself what makes Rely so new and different. Read the ads in your favorite magazines this month. They'll tell you all about Rely. It's really a better tampon. Remember, they named it Rely.
Do you ever feel already very deep?
Where did you get that haircut? In the army? This is the Morning Stream.
And we're back. So I'm talking to Hodir.
Hodir!
Or not Hodir, Hodor. on Skype right now. Does anybody in the chat room have a question for Hodor? Should we ask him something something unique? What should we say here? I don't think
Run's
he's...
Butt. Pony?
All right, I'll ask him. Hold on. All right, let's see if we can get an answer back. They're trying to get me on there. They have a podcast, him and a dude are running that I'm trying to get on. So let's see what he comes back with. Hopefully, Boney. I didn't ask if it was Boney, but we'll see what he says. Oh, he says, light as a twig. So apparently that kid is, he told me once that he was all bones. Like that was he said he's just, or he says there's air in his bones or something like that. He says he's the lightest kid ever.
Like a bird.
Yeah. He says, although it's getting harder because he's getting bigger and harder to carry. Mm-hmm. Gosh, what is my headphones doing? Hold on here. Being a little weird. Oh, it's because they're on the wrong ear.
Has the actor who played Bran ever farted on the back of your neck?
Oh, that's a good one. Hold on. Has Bran ever farted on your neck? My morning show co-host.
Oh, yeah. Blame me. Thanks.
Brian
blame me.
Is asking. All right. Let's see what he says. That's pretty funny. I like that question. Let's see where that takes us. Okay, let's add Nicole to the call.
Okay.
It's time for Nicole.
I think Nicole needs, we need a confession from Nicole too. She probably didn't get up in time to hear our confessions, but.
Probably not. Oh, yeah, that'd be fun. Think we squeeze one out of her? Probably.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Probably one out of Tom as well.
Yeah, I'll see why not. Squeeze one out of Tom. That sounds wrong. All right. Bringing her in. We're ringing. Christian's typing. That is to say, Hodor is typing. See what he comes back with. He's the biggest teddy bear. All he wants to do is play WoW and be Hodor. That's his life. He's bigger WoW dude than any of us here. All right, Nicole is ringing forever. Ringing. I know she's in the chat room. I saw her in there. Mm-hmm. Nicole, mm-hmm. Do you see our call? Do you see it coming in?
Do you see this?
Do you see that? Do you see this? That's
just
a
Tom,
no
you do
from
have to
me.
Take a dump on air.
Yeah, it's required.
You got to squeeze one out now.
Yeah, now you got to pop one out. Oh, there she is. Here's your theme.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Nicole. How are you?
I'm okay.
Yeah? Doing all right? Fantastic.
This antibiotic is making me feel weird.
You know what? I'm having the same problem with mine. Let me tell you two things that happened to me yesterday that I read are problems with antibiotics. One is if you have the longer 10-day thing like I have, mm-hmm. That over time you can end up with like rashes and other weird stuff, right? So I've got a weird rash just kind of near my elbow on the underside of my arm
sure,
on both
blame
sides.
The antibiotics.
Well, it's that and my herpes. You never know which one's kicking in.
On your elbow.
So I got those two going on. And then my vision just generally has been kind of blurry. Mm. The doctor says it's totally normal and says when you go off it, you'll be fine. But what the hell, man? I thought these were the miracle drugs. Not supposed to give us a bunch of side effects. That's crap.
I woke up at 1 a.m. last night, just wide awake, and I couldn't go back to sleep.
That's not good. That's not good. That's not good.
That was the weirdest thing.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. How long are you on it? When are you off?
Today is my last day. So I got another 24 hours on it.
You're lucky. I still got to go till next, like 3 more days, something like that.
But I think I'm going to have to go to an ENT because my sinuses are still not clear up.
Oh, man, really?
Oh, no. I know. It's
What's
crazy.
An ENT? Oh, ear, nose, and throat.
There you go.
All right. I've been there, done that. I just forgot what that stood for. I
was talking about a talking tree.
So, still no answer. Hodor hasn't answered yet about the farting brand. Hasn't it come back
I saw a really cool t-shirt with Hodor on it from that Shirt Punch.
Oh,
website.
Yeah. Someone owns this that we know. Veronica wore it at the Dragon Con, I want to say. Isn't it?
It has an image of him, and it has varying Hodors around him.
Yeah. It's like and they're all very cartoony and cute.
Exactly, yeah.
I think I saw Veronica wearing that. That is a cool shirt.
I love that website, but the shirts only last for 24 hours, so if I really don't love it, I can't have any, like, oh, maybe I'll get it later because it won't be there. Right. It won't be there.
Yeah, that's true. So. Sometimes the same shirts will show up on Woot occasionally. But even then, they're like short deals, you know? Can't get them there very long. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's Up All Night, Nicole. She's here to talk to us about recommendals. And today's a little different because you're going to throw a little wrench into the usual proceedings, right?
I'm gonna throw back to Movielicious. Mark and I now have a babysitter, so we're able to go to the actual movie theaters.
What? So,
real movies in the theater, and we found a theater near us. It's an AMC, and they have reclining leather sofa chairs.
Whoa. Nice. Wipe them down after the last guy was there? No?
I don't care. They're comfortable, and it's like I have my own personal, like you don't see anyone around you. It's amazing. You pick out your seats when you get the tickets.
Yeah.
It's only $10 too.
Yeah.
So
we have reserved seating is the way to live. There's no I can't go back now that we do that here. But reclining leather seats, that sounds fancy.
It's amazing. Wow. You kick up your feet.
Great. And if it's a bad movie, just sleep for 2 hours. Who cares?
That's kind of how I look at it.
Yeah. No, there's a win-win all around. So how what'd you see? So the idea is that you'll come on here and we'll do, all right, yeah, here's a couple of streaming things. But guess what? There's also this new thing in theaters.
Yeah, I'll do one. I'll try to do one that's in the theater and then two in that's streaming. All so right. I have a theme today and it's going to be based off of the film that I just saw in the theater. And it is The World's End with Simon Pegg. You were just talking about Edgar Wright.
Yeah.
Director Edgar Wright, Simon Pegg, Nick Frost. Yeah. The funny thing is I've been looking forward to this film because the trailer came out, I want to say like 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. And I instantly, I have to see this film. And I tweeted about it. And somebody's like, oh, spoilers. I'm like, dude, it's a trailer. How can I spoil the movie for you?
Someone accused you of spoilers by posting a trailer?
The trailer?
Oh, come on.
Because the trailer does tell you a lot.
But wait. Did you go to his house, though, and make him click that link and watch the entire trailer then? Is that how that worked? Give me a break.
I don't know.
Does he close his eyes? Does he, like, show up right when this feature presentation starts in movie theaters?
Yeah. We're not going in until it's time, okay? I guess with reserve seating, you can do that easier, by the way.
Yeah. I do love previews.
I do, too. There's nothing wrong with trailers. My wife doesn't like them because she'd rather be surprised, so she doesn't like me to show her things like a new Thor trailer come out. And she's like, I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. I'm like, but you'll see it in the movie theater next week when we see something. And she'll go, I know, but that's something I can't help. But this I can't help. So I understand that. Totally get it. But this guy who says spoilers, you didn't have to watch it. No one forced you. You weren't even in a room where it was on and it was inconvenient to leave. You clicked it.
I just said, because it had just been released, and I'm like, I can't wait for this movie. And I put the link and it went to an article that had the trailer embedded. So it wasn't like I even was sending them to a YouTube video that automatically played.
Lame.
It was so funny.
He had every opportunity. Anyway. So what'd you say? So at World's End, how was it? How'd it go?
So I will just put it out there. I am a huge Simon Pegg fan.
Yeah.
So if you're not a fan of Simon Pegg, you might want to take my recommendations with a grain of salt. But it's about five friends who come together. Simon Pegg is the ringleader. He plays, King is his last name.
The Lion King.
Gary King. Gary King is his name. The Lion King.
Yeah, that's it.
Burger King is his name. Okay, great.
But it's five friends, and they were, when they're in their younger years, you know, they were, I was going to say the cat's pajamas. I can't believe I was going to say that.
The cat's pajamas. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you're like, sliced bread.
You're my Aunt Connie all of a sudden.
But they were the crap. I try not to cuss.
They were the bomb. They were the shit. They were the shit.
Yes. So they try to do this epic pub crawl, 12 pubs. In a single night, so and a pint at each pub, and they didn't make it through. And it's Gary kind of coming 20 years later, bringing everybody back together, and then weird stuff's happening in a town, and then it just kind of evolves. This is the third movie that Edgar Wright has done with Simon Pegg and Nick Frost. The other two, which are not streaming, unfortunately, because I would totally recommend them, Shaun of the Dead was the first one, and then Hot Fuzz was the second, and this is the third one. Mm-hmm. And apparently there's a little Easter egg in all three of these films where Nick Frost, I think it's Nick Frost, says he wants some kind of ice cream, which I'm not familiar with the ice cream, but there's like a little, it's in every
Everything he's in. Interesting.
Well, every one of these three films.
Sounds like a Nick Frost thing to do.
Yeah.
In
the chat room, they're saying was it Cornetto?
Cornetto?
Cornetto ice, is that Cornetto? An ice cream? The I'm Cornetto not familiar trilogy. With that. That's what they're calling it, the okay. Cornetto trilogy, because he says this line in every single one of the films.
Oh, there's a Wikipedia link. Interesting. Okay.
Cool. Yeah.
All right.
So I had a blast with it. It was a lot of fun. If you're familiar with the other two films, like Shaun of the Dead, you know that they create this world that's kind of crazy. Like with Shaun of the Dead, it was zombies. And you think they're going to go back to, most movies go back to quote unquote normal, but they never go back to normal. And that's what I love about these films. The world changes and then they change with it. So I just love it.
So, okay, so without spoiling, and maybe it is a spoiler, and if it is, don't tell me, but is there any way to say what the disaster is at World's End? Is it just the world ending? Is it like
the
straight
world's
up?
End, the World's End is a pub, and it's the very last pub in the pub crawl.
Oh, okay.
So they're trying to get to the World's End, and it all kind of ties in together, and it's just... It's a funny...
But it's a big disaster comedy, right? Like, the world's falling apart, going to hell. No?
No, not really.
Why did I think that this was, like, apocalyptic?
Because Shaun of the Dead was. Hot Fuzz wasn't, but...
You're right. That must be why. But I also thought I saw a preview where there were giant explosions and, like, lava things.
There will be giant explosions. I will tell you that.
Okay. But it's not...
So Tom's in the chat room. He's like, I disagree with me. But Tom, I can't. It's spoiling. It's spoiling I say it's a disaster comedy. I mean, it kind of is, but it kind of isn't.
Okay. Well, everything I'd seen led me to believe that this was going to be, this is like, a Nolan Emmerich send up. Like, it's where Shaun of the Dead was a George Romero send up of the zombie genre. This was a disaster movie send up satire. And is it or is it not?
Nope. It's sci-fi. It's sci-fi.
Okay. It's like Aliens totally Attack or something. But my point is
I don't think just go see it.
But I don't think any of that's a spoiler.
You need to see it. It's a great film. It's out. You need to see it. It's right. Sci-fi comedy action. Boom.
Right. But none of that awesome. Is a spoiler. I don't think any of that. That's the part I'm trying to get at. Is I don't think any of that's a spoiler because the trailers and everything else about it are all, it's like straight up on the sleeve. Like, yeah, we're getting it. Yeah. People are getting attacked and we're hiding.
Exactly. Yeah. And I will say that I don't feel the trailer took away from the film for me.
Right.
So you just said, people are getting attacked and.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I'm just saying it's not just straight up. Hey, we're on a bar crawl.
Like, no.
It's typical rom-com style. It's not like that. There's this other thing.
There's going to be more to it than that.
It really is about the five friends.
Right.
And their relationship. And, you know, typically it's about, in the previous movies, it's about guys in their 30s and 40s trying to recapture their youth and stay young and, you know, video games and blah, blah, blah.
Isn't there another movie that's a lot like this premise
it's another one. It's with Seth Rogen.
Yeah, Rogen and all those guys.
Yes, The End of the World or something like that.
This is the end, right.
Oh, that is another great one.
I haven't seen it.
If you can catch that in the theater, which I think it's still out because it's doing so well, I loved This is the End.
Yeah. Wasn't there there was somebody in that that was like totally went against type, some actor. I can't remember any of this stuff, but yeah, it's interesting.
Jonah Hill,
maybe that was it. But the whole thing is like, this is one of those deep impact Armageddon moments, right? Where these two movies are kind of similar and they came out the same year kind of thing. I always like it when that happens.
The only thing similar about those movies is they have end in their title.
All right, fair enough. Cool. So there's your recommendal for film actual movie theater going. Sounds good.
Movie dishes.
Yeah, very nice.
So, of course, Simon Pegg's going to be my theme. The first recommendal I have for you is only streaming on Netflix. It's not on Amazon Prime. It's the series that Simon Pegg kind of launched his career with called Spaced. Love, 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 love this TV show. There are two seasons. And it's about Simon Pegg's character looking for a flatmate. And what's her name? Jessica Hines, I believe it is. It's just quirky. And then you have Nick Frost's character. I just love this. It's like, I rank it up there with like Pushing Daisies for me. Mm-hmm. It's so funny. Have either of you seen this show?
Yeah, oh yeah. I love Space.
Got the DVDs.
Space is great. It's one really of the good.
Did
one
that
of the,
come out?
Go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say, did that come out before Shaun of the Dead? I thought that was.
Oh, well before.
I guess it was, wasn't it?
Okay. 99. Yeah.
And it's still those guys. Like it's them. It's them hanging out. It's Edgar Wright directing episodes. Mm-hmm. It's Nick Frost on the show. Like this is where those guys met, I think. And there's a really cool interview. Mark Maron's Mark Maron's WTF podcast. He has a great interview with him talking about the history of all that, and it's pretty deep and interesting stuff where all that started. But
I love that show.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's way good. Great recommendal.
Love it.
Yeah,
yeah. If you haven't had a chance, watch it. It's a great. At first, I don't know why I thought this, but I thought it was going to be set in space, like. I didn't
well, see,
know.
There we go.
You mean kind of like at World's
the
End,
the world.
Then? Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
This was before stream. I got to watch the series before streaming was on Netflix, so I had the disc, yeah. And I just didn't really know what it was going to be about, and I think it was the cover because it's all black and there's like stars, and it looks like.
It's done. It's exactly. It's done with the same art style as the Star Wars posters.
Exactly.
It'd be like I don't know. What's that other British comedy that everyone loves that I hardly can get into? Oh, Red Dwarf.
Red Dwarf.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it would be easy to get the impression that here's another British sitcom about a guy who gets sucked into space or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'd be wrong.
Yeah, be wrong. No,
he mostly smokes pot. That's mainly what he does.
Yeah, play video games. Have weird. Right. Encounters with their neighbors. It's just great.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah, good
one
show.
Of my favorites.
Good show.
And then finally, I'll give you a two-for-one special. Both Mission Impossible 3 and Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol that stars Simon Pegg. Yep. I can recommend both of these films. Great. I'm not a huge Tom Cruise fan anymore, but I love these Mission Impossible films.
Those are the two best. I think 3 is my favorite, and I think 4 is right by it. And I
really like Ghost Protocol.
I think they just get better and better for me.
Yeah.
2 is better than 1. 3 is better than 2.
Yeah. I
4
hate
is
one.
Better than 3.
I think 1 is kind of garbage after our film sack of it. I was like, this doesn't hold up very well. But the other 3, I guess now it is, they're all really fun to watch. And the new ones especially. But J.J. Abrams just nailed it with 3. And I think that was the best Simon Pegg of the two. Because he, like in 4, it's fine what they did with him. But they made him a little bit more of an agent in 4. And in 3, he was more like bumbling nerd. And he just nailed it. Like, just nailed that part. So, yeah, worth seeing both those. They're both
and
great.
Is it any coincidence that when they added him to the cast, they got really great?
Yeah, I agree. Well, who knows? I think you might be a little biased, but yeah. I think you might really like Simon Pegg.
I love him.
Yeah, he's great. There's nothing wrong with that guy. And he makes Star Trek better. He makes everything better. I like
good
him.
Good times.
Sweet. All right. Well, there you go, everybody. Recommendations, Simon Pegg style, flavor, right. Smell today. Good
but
job, Nicole.
Before we let you go, Nicole, we've been talking about confessions on the show.
I heard.
Today.
Yes,
oh, yeah.
Secret confession.
Hold on. Hold on. I don't have this captured properly yet, but here's your theme for that. Here goes.
You can't handle the truth.
All right. What's your big confession? It can be nerdy. It can be whatever you want.
Right.
Okay.
You can't.
Oh, sorry. That wasn't supposed to play again. Sorry.
All right. So the very last episode of Movielicious. I told Patrick and Terpster that there was one film over the course of our 3 years that I had not seen, like, fully. Like, I watched bits of it, but I fast-forwarded through most of it because I just didn't like it. So I didn't watch the film.
Oh, man.
Okay.
And I talked about it, and so I was like, I kind of faked it on that film.
Yeah.
Because it was just...
Wow.
What was the movie?
I'm having a hard time remembering because it was so forgettable.
Yeah, but this won't be a shocking confession without the title because we've got to rub it in their face.
It was an alien movie. We had so many alien movies. I'm going to quickly search.
Somebody look up the last episode of Movielicious.
Who was the chick that was in Lost?
Oh, Kate?
That got killed.
Lily? Oh, killed? The sister, the snotty sister.
Yeah.
Not her.
Not Shannon.
No, she was a badass.
Got shot. She was a cop before. Michelle Rodriguez.
Michelle Rodriguez. Yeah. Okay, so she was in it, so I can trace back.
Avatar.
No, not Avatar.
Resident Evil 4.
Paolo?
Yeah, Paolo.
Battle Los Angeles.
Oh, Battle LA, dude.
Battle LA.
That also had Chris.
There's my secret. It's out, finally.
That's funny because the star of it is actually, what's his name from, he's Two-Face, Harvey Dent.
Oh, right. Yes.
Can't think of his name. Aaron Eckhart.
I started to watch it.
Aaron Eckhart, right.
And I was watching it illegally. And that's my other confession. I just wasn't into it. And we were getting ready to record. I was like, fine.
You know what? We were right, and we cannot handle the truth. That's insane. That's a pretty heavy confession there.
That's awesome.
Well, nice job, Nicole. People can find Nicole on Twitter at Nicole Spag.
I watched all the other ones.
All right. You've been good. Good. Well, at least we have that. Nicole Spag on Twitter. She has other shows like Ladies of Leet at ladiesofleet.com. She's on The Final Score at finalscoreshow.com with me and Brian Dunaway, and has a million other things going on. Anything else that I'm forgetting?
No. I'm like shaken because I told that secret.
Oh, man. It's going to come back.
Everybody still loves you, Nicole, and this is a judgment-free zone.
Yeah. It's going to buy you, Brian. Brian,
are you guys standing up and clapping for me?
I'm standing up, slow clap. Actually, you know what? I'll confess something similar to that. So in the 90s, in college, I wrote, I was actually the designer and movie reviewer for this newspaper in downtown Denver called the 16th Street Walker.
Okay.
Not to be confused with the 16th Street Walker. But it's one of these newspapers. Basically, the editor-in-chief, there was three of us working on this newspaper, and he basically just found me at the Institute of Art and said, hey, can I pay you freelance to design my newspaper? And he was kind of a drunk.
Yeah.
Not just kind of, he's like a major drunk. Everybody that I talked to about him later on said, oh, yeah, he's really, you know, bad about that. Yeah. So I did the whole layout for the for this little weekly newspaper that was handed out free on the 16th Street Mall. And I said, hey, you mind if I do some movie reviews? And so I didn't get any sort of stipend or anything, but I did get all of the free tickets from the different movie theaters. Yeah. And there was one movie that I reviewed based on reading just the information for, okay, because I didn't have time to go see the movie.
So much better.
You should, yeah. This little free reg. I couldn't. Okay, it's one with Sean Connery. He was like a doctor. It wasn't Mosquito Coast, but it was something like that. Medicine Man?
No, Medicine Man. You ever lose your car keys? I know that one.
Is that the line from the movie?
Because he lost the cure to cancer. I've lost the cure to cancer and I've lost it.
Oh, yeah.
You ever lose your car keys? Just like that. That's one of the best lines ever.
I did see it later.
I did see it later on, and I think I liked it even less. I gave it an average review. Like, I stayed very middle of the road and then said, this is so good, or this is so bad. But right. I think I ended up liking it.
Ellen Barkin was her name, I guess. She was in it.
Is she the female lead?
She's the lady lead.
Lorraine
Bracco, that's who it is. Yeah, Bracco.
Oh, Lorraine Bracco. Right. Yeah.
And he lost the keys to the Lutish.
There you go. So
fantastic.
So I reviewed a movie that I didn't see. there's my confession.
Wow, fantastic!
And I'm sure the five people that read that newspaper had no idea.
Wow, today is full of these confessions. I can't wait to hear what Tom's is. Tom's got to have a good one.
I'm a little nervous
now. All right, Nicole, stay out of trouble.
Thanks.
Oh, sorry.
Click.
All right, it's time for Tom Merritt. Let's waste no time in bringing him in here. Hold on. There we go.
I feel like this giant weight has been lifted off my shoulders.
Finally, after all these years, you don't have to stress about that anymore. It's no longer the big problem that it used to be. Let's see here.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
The man in question is Thomas Lee Everett Merritt, who is sitting idly by. Wait.
You just made my confession easy. That's not my middle name.
Dude, I can't wait to hear. You going to do one for us by the time we're done here? I want to hear a good Tom confession. You got a good one? It could be geeky, whatever. It can be anything.
Yeah, okay. I'm back.
All right, good. Well, I'm down with that.
Apparently Skype, when it calls you every week now, decides like, not ready. Oh, okay, I'm ready.
Yeah, that is a weird. We get a weird delay with you every time. Yeah. Not delay, but like a
Sarah Lanes was doing that for months.
Yeah,
going into Twit too. I don't know, some weird Skype.
She just reinstall, baby, reinstall. All right, so Tom Merritt's here. A big day yesterday in technology. Well, sort of ish.
Yeah, Intel Developers Forum kicked off.
Yeah,
Zanich was on stage talking about sub 100. Oh, you mean the other one?
Oh, the one that the public cares about. Well, actually, that's funny. You should say that because there are probably countless conferences that get kicked off every day of the week, and nobody even blinks an eye because it's just not in the public domain, really, that those things are going on.
Yeah, go to techbeam.com. They have a calendar of all this stuff. There's like at least two or three every week.
Yeah, lots. So it isn't all just Apple and Android getting up and doing their thing these days, but they kind of are the hot topic. I mean, how did all that stuff land on you yesterday as a iPhone user and, you know, somebody who's dabbled in Apple products over the years? How'd you feel about
their
announcements?
There's my other confession. I'm an iPhone user. Wow, did I not be impressed?
Yeah.
If I can... not speak with grammar.
Well, your tweets were dripping with sarcasm a little bit.
No,
like
you are
your 64-bit one in particular. There were a few people who were like, "Oh, what? Tom's excited. Maybe I should be excited."
No, that wasn't sarcastic.
Oh, you meant that one.
I'm like, okay, you got my attention here. 64-bit processor. I don't know what the crap I'm going to do with it.
Sure,
but I am just that kind of nerd to go like, that's cool.
Yeah.
Big old processor.
Progress.
I'm also the guy who won't buy an ultralight laptop because I insist I need a terabyte of hard drive space to carry around all the data I've ever created in my life with me at all times. So I recognize that I have an unreasonable attraction to these things.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm with you. This MacBook Air that I got is the first, sub notebook that I've gotten, or not netbook, but ultralight.
Yeah.
And I feel free from all that data now. I mean, it's still on my desktop here.
Yeah.
The only thing I miss is when I'm, out on the road with this thing, I don't have any of my music. But, there's some tons in the cloud that I've got, that Amazon Cloud Player. You'll be fine, Tom. You'll be fine.
Well, we were.
Your back will appreciate you for it.
I would take that to heart, Brian, a bit. I really appreciate that. But I have an ultralight Linux Mint Zarezan laptop that absolutely is wonderful, and I love it, and I never use it because I'm like, no, I must have all my data.
Data. Well, here's the problem. The three of us were raised on, we were the data generation of the computer fast track. It was all about more storage, more quickly, less expensive, better brands, more storage. Like, that was the cycle we were in. Now that cycle is being shifted. The cycle's being changed.
Yeah.
My kids could care less about what gets stored anywhere. If they run out of hard disk space, they're like, Dad, I don't know what's going on.
They're the Snapchat generation. You don't save anything.
Right. Nothing gets saved. It's if you're taking pictures of your wiener, they're gone 60 seconds later.
5 seconds after you.
Exactly. So I want to store my wiener pictures for as long as I can.
Dog.
That's what I meant. Yeah, the dog.
Yeah.
Obviously. Clearly. Anyway, it's interesting to me. But what do you... I always love to... To me, it's interesting when things come out and products come out, and I'm excited about certain things about that phone, and other things are kind of like ho-hum or whatever. But we are in the ho-hum stage. I don't know. Should we expect to be blown away every 12 months? I mean, Steve Jobs, everyone thinks, well, he was blowing everybody away. Well, he also had the advantage of the two biggest products in the history of computing for a very long time and got to do them within a couple of years of each other, relatively speaking. Well... then you get into iteration mode, and what else are you going to do? You can't next year go, and there's a whole new way to compute. It doesn't work that way.
There's a couple of things going on here. One is short-term memory. Mm. Every announcement from Apple has been met with a certain percentage of the audience saying, well, that was a disappointment because it's always too much expectation. The iPhone 3G, I remember people saying, like, that's it? It just added 3G? Who cares?
Right.
You know, the 3GS especially, like, it's not even any different. It's the same dang phone. Why would you even buy that?
Right.
We hear the same stuff every time. So it's hard to tell whether the ennui has risen or not. I actually think the fingerprint scanner is going to end up being a lot more impressive to people than they expect. A lot of people are dismissing that. But I think it's going to really be useful if it works. I mean, the problem would be if it ends up being an antenna gate type thing where it's like, it breaks all the time and it doesn't work, then that'll be a disaster. But if it works as promised, the idea that I can actually keep a very long secure password instead of a 4-digit number, people are forgetting that. Like, this means you don't do a 4-digit number. You do like a really complex secure password and then you use your thumbprint most of the time. It also means that when you go to that app store and you want to buy something, instead of going, all right, I'm going to type in my iTunes password, you just swipe your thumb. I think that's going to be
really
pretty cool for people. But again, like you said, Scott, we're in the phase of the iPhone, and this is the other thing I was thinking of, that it's incremental, right? I mean, how much innovation on the iPod has been done? They still sell it, and the iPod Touch even doesn't get all that much innovation. The phones have become a commodity product at this point, and you're only going to see these kinds of steps forward unless they turn it into an entirely different product line, which is something that none of us can imagine. And I'm not talking about watches or televisions, but they, like, instead of a phone, we now have an implantable something in your temple that, you know, whatever.
Sure, or your brainwaves are picking up this thing now or whatever. Right, like, that you're right. And so in 2007, nobody knew what he was going to – that literally he would get up on stage and change mobile computing that day. Literally changed it. So Apple gets their 2000 – they get their 1984. They get their 2007. And to a lesser degree, but an impressive degree, maybe one more of those in 2010.
Well, honestly, the iPod was a big deal. iMacs were a big deal. Yeah. iPad was a big deal. Like, those are the announcements that make everyone believe that every time Apple gets up on stage and opens their mouth, their collective corporate mouth, that they're going to change the world.
Right.
But they're not going to do that every time.
Right. You can't. So we literally named 3 to 4 to maybe 5 times where you could count that happened. So everybody acting like, wow, things have really gone downhill since the very last press conference. Like, come on, guys. Everyone just sit back. That's why I like having Tom on here to talk about this, because Tom has the voice of reason. He doesn't have that short-term memory because he stores everything on his damn hard drive.
That's right, because I have a terrified hard drive.
Yeah.
You know who's really happy about the Apple announcement yesterday?
Who?
Companies that make iPhone 5 cases.
Yeah. They're like, hey, check it out. We don't have to change our whole lineup this year. You know, they brace for that every time, don't they? They're just like,
Brace
for impact.
Is that warehouse still full of those things? Shit.
We're going to have an inch difference in size, and we have got to go retool everything.
Yeah.
Well, and just to take this in another direction, just because I'm saying I almost feel like people are disappointed about the wrong things, right? It's like, yeah, we immediately get disappointed, but should we be disappointed? I don't think we should be disappointed at the incrementalism or at the fingerprint sensor, but I do think there is some disappointment around the price. This is not a cheaper iPhone, the iPhone 5C. It's just saying, instead of selling the iPhone 5, we're going to sell an iPhone 5 that's cheaper to make and has colors.
Yeah.
And hopefully we can make some more money on. China is not impressed. This thing is going to be $730 US, the equivalent, in China for the 5C.
Yeah,
which is $549 in the US.
That's crazy.
So that they're like, that's not a cheap phone at all. That's maybe a mid-range phone, probably a high-end phone. And China's the market that Apple needs the most help with. So I think there are some concerns here, and there's some legitimate questions to be asked about whether Apple is slowing down, whether they're the same company they used to be. But I sometimes think we ask the question the wrong way, that's all.
Yeah, and it's just sometimes it's just out of pure tribalism and not out of anything else. Like, I'm genuinely interested to see how they deal with some of those problems that definitely face them and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, the idea that 5C looks cheaper to us because we're on the subsidized, we live in a subsidized world of phone use, and we go, oh, $100, that's great. That's basically a 5 with a color back, I'm in. That seems really cheap to some, but if you really look at what's going on there, that thing's not cheap at all. It's basically as expensive as it ever was.
Yeah.
Which is weird. This stuff kind of fascinates me, and I am kind of, my contract's up, and I'm kind of leaning toward the upgrade. To the 5S for two reasons. The finger scanner seems cool to me, and the camera, slow-mo camera thing is impressive to me. I don't know why that's interesting to me, but I want to dink around and make weird videos with it, and I think I could have some fun with that. But those really are the only features that are jumping out saying, you know, you got to get this or whatever. Or I may get iOS 7 on, what, the 20th or whatever it is? 18th, is it? And go, it's all I need. My 5's good for another... You know,
right. It is going to feel like a new phone when you get that. I mean, it looks nice. Plus, there's a bunch of new settings and controls and things like that you've got.
Finger scanner.
You'll spend an hour alone just moving it back and forth, watching all your icons hover over your background in 3D.
I want to get a phone where I fake it in.
Relax, man.
Yes.
I want to push my big toe on it and convince it that that's my thumb and the only. So even if I'm getting tortured,
you get 3. I think you get 3.
Oh, you get up to 3.
So you can do a thumb, a pointy finger, and your toe.
Yeah, let's do that. I'm into that. Or my nose, the tip of my nose. Let's see how that goes. I assume they're
all... Siri'll say, you have big fingers.
Well, big week for tech enthusiasts in terms of that, if they're into that sort of stuff. Anything else going on you guys are prepping for? Anything cool?
We are going to talk about the Intel Developer Forum because Intel came out with, it's kind of one of those things that's hard for people to catch on how significant it is, but they are going to have a low power chip design short of what ARM does, where ARM doesn't even sell chips, they just sell the design of the chips. Intel is still going to make the chip, but they're going to allow customization. Up until now, when Intel sells a chip, they make it, they design it, they sell it to you, you take the chip, you put it in your product. They're caving on that a little, and they've already announced that they're actually going to sell their capacity to make chips in certain situations to people to use Intel capacity to make their own chips. So that's a huge change for Intel, which for decades has said, no, we know best. Top to bottom.
So that's akin to sort of licensing in a way, right? I mean, they're
right. They're not quite going as far as just saying, "Oh, we'll license the design to you," but they are allowing some extensibility. They are allowing some customization. And the Quark system on a chip is a fifth the size of Atom, a tenth of the power, and x86 compatible. So you talk about watches and wearable computing and Internet of Things. The Intel may be saying, like, you know what? Forget the mobile market. We're not going to win against ARM there. Let's go to that market because that's the one that's going to blow up next.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I agree with them, actually. I think that's awesome. That's some nice forward thinking from Intel. You can find this story, so much, many more stories, all kinds of cool stuff. Over at TNT, Tech News Today. TwitLive.tv, everybody, in about an hour and 15 minutes, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, yeah. That's true. Wow, you guys are going long today.
Yeah, we are going a little long. That's all right. We like talking to Tom Merritt. Tom Merritt, of course.
Hold on, we need confession.
Oh, confession. Confession. Okay, hold on. I got to play the theme real quick here. Here we go.
You can't handle the truth.
All right, give us a confession, some nerdy thing you got to confess to.
Can I use the digital hoarder?
Of course you can.
Because honestly, I have got ridiculous things on my hard drive.
Yeah.
Like I have programs I wrote in QBasic from 1992 in a folder on my Mac.
Wow. What?
That's fun.
You do? That's pretty bad. I was going to say, yeah, whatever. He's probably got some 03, 04.
Backups from like the mid-90s.
Oh, my gosh. Now, what are you going to do? Or in your head, what do you think the end game is for all that stuff?
What are you talking about? What are they going to do with the end game? I need that stuff, Scott.
You can take my data when you cry from my cold, dead hard drive.
Yeah, your cold history. Hard drive.
How, if I don't know my history, I might repeat it.
I laugh or I tease, but I have the same problem. I have exactly the same problem, and I've got way too much crap. And the only stuff I don't have are drives that died, and now I'm so extra redundant that I will never let that happen again, and I don't know what to do with it all. What we need is a new standard, like a new, I don't know, a new storage standard that is indestructible, that will hold terabytes of data, so I can just all at once throw all my old crap on there, tuck it away somewhere important, and forget about it.
Well, and it's funny,
magic
actually.
Magic is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, honestly, this goes back to my Hewlett-Packard 486DX hard drive.
Yep.
Every time I moved computers, I would take everything off my documents folder of that and put it on the new computer. And that's what that stuff is. It's everything that has ever been in my hard drive since I moved from my IBM PS2 to my 486DX, because I only translated a few floppy disks. And then I did take all my floppy disks at one point 3 years ago, and I put them in a folder called disks and put that in the My Documents folder. So those are all in there as well.
Wow. All right. Well, you should continue to pile things up until the police have to come over and wonder what that smell is, find a dead cat under a couch.
That's the beauty of digital, though. Like every time, you know, as the hard drives get bigger, that whole hard drive of stuff from the PS2 doesn't take very much space anymore. You hardly even know it's there.
I have a comic I did I need to send to you that is specifically about this very issue. I'll send that to you later today. It's
I got
Tom-
some dead cat pictures. I got some newspapers.
Oh, good. Perfect. Food you left there from 4 weeks ago and forgot about. Sure. Meatball in the corner. Speaking of meatballs in the corner, Tom Merritt can be found on Twitter at Ace Detect. That's an Ace Detect. D right in the middle of the Ace and the Tect. You can also find them, of course, over there on Twit and all things internet. We got a bunch of stuff coming up, Tom and I. Some art projects, autopilot's coming back. You'll get first episode of that coming in October. We start recording those here pretty quickly. Too much to mention. Tom Merritt, always a pleasure.
Likewise, my friends.
Stay out of trouble. Bye now.
YouTube. See you, buddy.
You say YouTube? YouTube.
Yeah, that's what he says. He was talking about other things he's got saved on his hard drive.
Right. It would be old funny.
Videos.
A real digital hoarder is the guy that can't watch a YouTube video without also downloading that video after he's watched it.
Right.
That would be real bad.
For a while, I was going to use Handbrake and try and transfer all of my DVDs onto my hard drive.
Yeah, I thought about that until I looked at my giant stack of DVDs and I went, nope, yeah. Nope. Not going to happen. All right, let's do something that will happen. Emails. Emails today are brought to you by...
Brought to you by... Yeah, a lot of scrolling to do there. The Instance, the World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. Airing weekly or on the Frog Pants Network. Subscribe at theinstance.net today and find out Friday about patch 5.4.
Yeah, going to be a big, big talk about that. Finally, we can talk about something other than Hearthstone.
Exactly.
Can't
Hearthstone
talk. Yeah, we had a lot of Hearthstone talk. Scott.
When is the Hearthstone podcast coming out, by the way, on the Frog Pants Network?
Well, there was some talk about me and Mike Schramm doing a little supplementary something.
Yeah.
But I don't know if we're going to do that yet. I can't decide. We need to. I think the game needs to hit wide release, and we need to get a feel for what its reach will be and just decide if it's worth throwing extra resources on it.
If it's got legs for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Trying hard not to add new projects that don't make me any money.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Because I'm starting to run out of time, and I gotta pay them bills. Let's see, Scott. This one's all Scott. Brian is in no way implicated here. Says this email.
Good. About time.
This is from Maglot. Let's see.
Oh, no, it's not. It's from Bronco.
It's from Bronco. Sorry, Maglot's the other guy. I scrolled funny.
Right.
Says this. You don't like people using stereotypes about Utah? Triple question mark. How many times did you ask O about his machete? Hell, you even draw him in a tin can and a string and an ELR poster. How many times did you talk about Patrick eating cheese? How many times did you talk about holes in Canadian money? Literally, and it's literally, not figuratively. Every time you talk about a country other than America, the first thing you do is roll out a list of stereotypes. Even within the U.S., you immediately go to stereotyped accents. I realize this can be confusing, what with your brain addled with Jell-O, trying to remember where you put your official state handgun and your hectic polygamous life. But if you can use stereotypes, so can we, Bronco.
Wow.
Now, nice. Look, Bronco's one of my favorite people in the world, and I would never say a bad thing about him, except that his money has holes in it. And they have ketchup flavored chips everywhere up there. So yes, Bronco, when I say things like I don't like the stereotypes in Utah, I'm actually not saying that. What I'm saying is stereotypes are fun. And I know the ones I'm making fun of don't actually exist. So when I say there's holes in your money, I know it's not true. When I say, I don't know, everybody in the South's a redneck. Of course they're not. There's plenty that aren't. I know many personally who are not. My wife is from Mississippi. You don't get more deep South than that, and she's the furthest thing from a redneck I know. So I know it when I'm saying it. My complaint wasn't about people who knowingly are joshing around about stereotypes. I think stereotypes are fun. I'm talking about people who have literally bad information and have and then therefore have taken serious life steps to... discriminate based on those, that misunderstanding. That's the difference. Stereotype all you want.
Can I help you? I could probably sum up your response to Bronco in one word.
Go.
Sorry.
That was a good email, eh? Thanks, man. That was great. All right, so you get my point. I hope that makes sense, Bronco, because I would never be mean to Bronco because... He of kicked course. My A. The guy's giant. He would.
Yeah,
me.
He's. My God.
Here's what he'd do. He'd beat me up.
Biceps like tree trunks.
I know.
That guy.
He'd kill me. First, he'd beat me up to leave me for dead, and then he would run. He would skid out on my face with his motorcycle. That's what he would do. Moving on to Maglot. Maglot, who wrote, don't know if you guys heard about this yet, but check it out. Yo, looks like he's flying along with some debris in one shot. All right. So this is an article about R2-D2 spotted in Star Trek Into Darkness. And there
that's
he
right.
is,
yeah, this,
dude.
This was big news during when the movie came out, and somebody, I think, took a picture in the theater. Now that it's on DVD, you can finally like catch it in all its glory and know exactly when to pause. And
yep, Blu-ray it all up in there. Look at that thing. That is totally R2-D2.
That's awesome. That's great.
If that's not
that's
R2, really then good. then I don't know what R2 is. So that's kind of cool. Abrams is famous for putting little things like this in here.
It'd be even better if as he was flying by, he went, whee!
I still challenge... I still challenge everybody. Well, I don't know if I've ever made this challenge. Let's make it official. There's a very specific cameo/Easter egg in the Avengers. and you have to be really careful about catching it. But I'll, the only hint I'll give you is it happens during the fight in New York. Okay, so during all of that.
Oh, so only during a third of the movie.
Yeah, only during a big third, the most chaotic part of the movie, the most visually hard to catch small things part of the movie, you will see a very specific nod to a very specific Frog Pants thing. I can't
is
get
it,
specific.
Is it viewable, or is it too blurry on the even on the Blu-ray? I'm guessing it's...
Totally viewable. Somebody sent me...
It is, okay.
The person who inserted it sent me a screen cap from the film and said, here it is.
Okay.
So I actually know where it is, but I'm not supposed to tell anyone because I don't want to get in trouble.
So hey, you told me. I've seen it.
Yeah, you've seen it. So I'll leave it at that. But it's one of the coolest things that's ever happened to me in my lifetime. So if you can find it, great. Just knowing it's there is enough of a reward for me. Thank you for that, Maglot. Oh, did we put that in the chat? Did you put that in there so they could see it?
No, I can, though. You know what?
Yeah, throw that in there. Here. Throw that in there. Let them see what we're talking about. I just kicked something over.
There you go.
All right, that's it. We're done. Tomorrow we got Thursday, Therapy Thursday. That'll be good.
Yeah,
it'll be great. We're looking forward to that. As always, we'll have Cleo here as well to sum up the week and a whole bunch more stuff. I want to thank everybody who helps us make this show. Scott Fletcher, alphageekradio.com/loot. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. You can find us on Facebook/TheMorningStream. Email us themorningstream@gmail.com and on Twitter. We're @MorningStream. Scott Johnson und Coverville. Song? Should we do a song?
Song, yes. This one's going out to Elaine Murray. You know, we're totally hitting the 80s rock today. She says, hi, Brian. This is so last minute that I have no real expectation of it working out. Well, you know what? Let that be a lesson to all of you that it might not. I realize this is the kind of thing I probably should have requested like a month in advance, but it just occurred to me. Husband's birthday is coming up on September 11. If you happen to have space for it, could you play a cover for him this week? He's just such a big TMS/Coverville fan, including getting up at 7 on days off to listen. That's awesome. Wow. But I know it'd make his day. Something from 80s rock, maybe a cover of or by Guns N' Roses. Husband's name is Mike Murray. If you can get it in, if you can't get it in, I completely understand. Signed, Elaine Murray.
Oh, we can get it in, Elaine. Right. Yeah.
Yes.
I don't mean anything by that other than the song.
Not at all. We are obviously only talking about music.
Of course.
It's been a while since we played some Rock Sugar on the show, and I'm so happy to play these guys. And again, it is my dream and an attainable dream, in my opinion, to get these guys out to a Nerdtacular at some point as musical guests.
Ooh.
I think it's doable. Okay. These guys are amiable, right. And I think we just have to keep them loaded with Pop Rocks and Four Loko, and they'll do it for us.
All right.
This comes from their 2009 album, Reimaginator, which I think is probably a lot easier to find than it was a year ago. I think you can find copies now. And it is a mashup cover. It is Voices in the Jungle, a little combo of Guns N' Roses and Till Tuesday. This is fantastic. This is what these guys are all about. Rock Sugar and Voices in the Jungle.
All right. Well, your choice. I think it's great.
I think it's great.
I know. I agree. Here you go. Voices in the Jungle. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you then.
is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
There's different flavors that you can get.